Are you a winner or a loser? Capital L, loser. Talking to somebody yesterday, and he was talking about coaching his T-ball baseball team and how that he had to teach these kids everything. They don't know how to swing a bat. They don't know how to throw a ball. They don't know who to throw the ball. He had to teach them everything so that they could be successful in their endeavor of World Series, Pee-wee, Little League, T-ball, baseball. Well, how about in life? Are you successful or are you a failure? Does the devil have something, some vice, some hang-up, where he knows if he wants to just jerk your chain, that's where he's going to jerk, and you're just going to fall like a stack of cards? Well, the fact is, all of us have besetting sins which so easily do beset us, which so easily we are prone to fall to. Now, when we come to Romans chapter 6, Paul says, that's not the way it has to be. That's not the way it should be. That's not the reason Jesus rose from the dead, is that when Satan wants to jerk your chain, you have to fall and be defeated. He said, no. Jesus died on the cross. He was buried. He rose again so that you can be victorious over any sin that he wants to put in your way. But a lot of times, whatever that vice is, whatever that hang-up is, whatever that difficulty is, we fall. And I'm here to say, Romans chapter 6, one of the great chapters in all the Bible, tells us how we can be victorious. So this morning, three words, not three statements, not three paragraphs, three simple words that could revolutionize your life. Now, don't sit there in your Sunday best looking all pretty and sniffy and uppity and say, oh, I don't have any vices. No. All of us do. And Satan wants to use our devices to destroy us. So whatever it is, you can be victorious over that besetting sin if you'll just use these three simple words. Sermon's entitled, Who's Your Master? First word, there on your outline, the word is reckon. Reckon. Four times in this chapter, Paul tells us that there are some things that we should know. Now, you can't do what's right until you know what's right. What you don't know can hurt you. And what you don't know can kill you. But he says, hey, as a Christian, there are some things you need to know. You're in Romans 6. Look at verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, might be annihilated, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed or liberated from sin. So we're told two things in this passage that we need to know and get into our minds. Number one, we are dead to sin. And number two, we are free from sin. So whatever it is, if you struggle with anger, if you struggle with pornography, if you struggle with alcohol, if you struggle with tobacco, what if you struggle with whatever it is, you can be liberated. You can be set free. You can be dead to that sin, and you need to know it. So understand this. Jesus did not come here, die on the cross, just to save you from hell. Jesus came here, died on the cross, to save you also from sin. And there is no sin. There is no vice. There is no hang-up. Some of you battle with worry. Some of us battle with fear. And fear should not be able just to jerk our chain, because Jesus died to give us victory over that sin. One author put it like this: when Jesus died for our sin, He gave us the power to die to our sin. So therefore, I don't have to be intimidated when Satan tries to tempt me, because I am dead to sin. So with that, look down at verse 11. Likewise. So looking back to all that he has said in the first part of the chapter, likewise you reckon. There's that word. Reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now some of our farmers around here, and even some of our non-farmers, they like to use that word reckon. But the way they use that word reckon and the way Paul used the word reckon are two different ways. They use the word reckon, well, I reckon so. It means, I guess so. Well, all right. That's not the way Paul was using it. It was an accounting term. It was to count on. It was to depend upon. It was to put in one's account. So if I came and I wrote you a check out and I handed you a check, it's just a piece of paper. It's useless. It's no better than Monopoly money. But if you say, I reckon this check is good, and you go and you put that check into your account, that's what he's saying is, you depend upon it. You count upon it. You rest as it is a done deal. You say, okay, Pastor, here's my problem. I don't feel like I'm dead to sin. Man, something will happen and I'll just start worrying. Something will happen and I'll just get that angst that I got to go and do that besetting sin. I don't feel like I am dead to sin. Listen, I'm not talking about your feelings. Who gives a rip about your feelings? I'm talking about facts. Now you can say, I give you that check. Well, I hope Neil Jackson's good for this check. I don't know. Sometimes he's a fast and loose. You may not feel real good about it, but when you deposit it and it clears, who gives a rip about your feelings? It is a fact. And you're not depending upon Neil Jackson here. You're depending upon God. And he says it as fact. So, number one, you got to reckon the truth of Scripture that you are dead to sin. You say, okay, I got another question. If I'm dead to sin, why am I still tempted? Man, I go into certain places and I'm tempted. Not just a little bit, a lot. If I'm so dead, why am I so tempted? Great question. Because sin's not dead to you. You're dead to it. You do not have to get into it, but sin is very much alive, and sin is still tempting. Sin is still doing its thing, but you have the power, because Christ rose from the dead, that you don't have to say yes to sin. You can say no to sin. Let me illustrate it like this. All of us have been to weddings where the bride walks the aisle. She commits herself to this guy, and this guy commits herself to this girl. And then the preacher, my favorite part of any wedding is when I get to say, by the power invested in me, I pronounce you husband and wife. And then they do the kissy smoochy thing and they turn around and I say, and I'd like to introduce to you Mr. and Mrs. whoever it is. Her identity changed. Now, she still looks the same on the outside, but she is different. She's changing everything. She's changing where she's lived. She's changing what she's doing. She gets all of his stuff. She gets him to do whatever she wants him to do. I mean, everything just changes. Yes, there are times when she's going and she goes to sign her name and she signs it the wrong way. She says, no, I'm not that anymore. I'm a new person. I'm a new wife. I got a new identity. And she said, no, I'm not signing the old name. I'm signing the new name because I got him and I got all that he has. That is you. When you accepted Jesus, you're a new person. Now, there are times where you might start to fall back into the old you, but no, you got to wait. No, that's not me anymore. I'm not a single person depending totally upon my strength. No. I am committed to someone stronger than I, someone that's a completer to me, someone that's promised to provide for me and to protect me, and he's taking care of me, and I got all that he's got, so therefore I'm good. That is you. You don't have to give in to second. Just reckon. Reckon it so I'm dead to sin. Alcohol, you're not going to control me. Tobacco, you're not going to control me. Pornography, you're not going to control me. Worry, you're dead to me. You're not. Reckon it so. First word. Reckon. Second word. Reject. Reject. Now look at verse 12. Let not sin reign in your mortal, your fleshly body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Now look what it says. Let not sin therefore reign in your physical human body. So it's your responsibility. So it's your task. It's your job to reject sin, to kick sin out of your life, to say, no, you're not living here. You have been evicted and you're no longer welcome anymore. Get out.
Next verse.
Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. So the word yield is used 5 times in this chapter. It means to surrender. It means to present yourself as a sacrifice. So he's saying, if you want to be victorious over any sin, don't yield to sin. Present your body, present your hands, present your eyes, present your ears, present your tongue, present your body, and then he says, as instruments of righteousness. The word instrument means tools. It means weapons. So your body is a tool to build up God's kingdom, or you can yield your body as a tool to tear down your God's kingdom. Instruments means weapons. So your body can be used as a weapon to further God's kingdom, or it can be used as a weapon to tear down God's kingdom. So you have a choice every day when you reckon. I reckon that I'm dead to sin. Secondly, I yield myself to God. So therefore, this is your tongue. It's only going to do what you're pleased with. These are your eyes, and I'm not yielding them to Satan to look at filth. I'm yielding your eyes only to look at pleasing things to you, God. Hey, these ears, they're your ears, and I'm yielding them to you. I'm not listening to junk whether it's from a person or it's from a radio. No, no, no. These are your ears, God. Listen to notice this. Whether or not sin reigns in your body is up to you. So you say, well, I got this hang up. I just cannot lick it. Yeah, you can. You just don't want to. You can lick it. There are certain fighting words in the Jackson house. Certain things that we just don't like. We just cannot stand. Yeah, we're going to be Christian-like in everything that we do, or at least try to most of the time. But there are some things that just get us fighting and mad. One of them is when the exterminator comes and says, you got rats. Now, I don't like rats. Now, we got those outside field mice things. I don't like it. And so, whatever we got to do, I don't like cats, but I'll get a cat if it'll keep away the rats. I mean, I'm not going to leave out, okay, rat, you can just live in that part of the house, and I'll live in this part of the house, and we will peacefully coexist. No, 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 no. There is no peaceful coexisting in our house with rats. No, 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 no. We're going to bait you. We are going to trick you. We are going to fume you. We are going to poison you. We are going to declare war on you because we hate rats, and we're not going to coexist with you, and it's not all right for you to live here. You go to our neighbors. We're done with you. All of my neighbors, I love you, but I don't want your rats. That's what you're to do with Satan. That's what you're to do with sin. Listen to me. So many times we think we can watch sin on television. It's all right. It's not all right. You are letting something a lot worse than a rat live in your house, and you're feeding it, and it's living off of you. You got to declare war on those rats. You got to fume them. You got to starve them. You got to trick them. You got to nuke them if you can. But do not make provision for temptation. If that means throwing the television away, throw it away. If that means leaving the radio off, leave the radio off. If that means changing your friends, change your friends. But it is up to you. Reject it. Oppose it. Say, no, 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 no. Whatever your besetting sin is, you've got to declare war. First word is reckon. Second word is reject. Third word, my favorite point. Look at verse 13. Word is receive. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. But notice this last phrase. But yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. You say, preacher, I'm not so sure and clear how I do that. If I'm struggling with some besetting sin, how do I yield myself to God to get victory over this sin? Look at the next verse. For sin shall not have dominion over you. If you've never memorized a verse in your life, memorize this verse. For sin shall not have dominion over you. For ye are not under law, but under grace. So as a believer, you're no longer under law. The law was just a rule. It was just a requirement. It's just a stipulation. It was just a measurement. It just showed you, hey, you don't measure up and you need a substitute, and that substitute is Jesus. The law never helped us. Let me explain it like this. I went to the hardware store this week and I needed a part for something that I was working on. And I said, hey, I need this piece this long. Well, the gentleman gave me the piece this long. I went back, having not measured, and I tried to put it on the apparatus that I needed to, and it was a foot short. So I went back to the guy. I was like, hey, I need another piece. Not this long, but I need it this long. Well, he did what was right. He gave it to me the length that I had requested. It just wasn't long enough. When I went back to him, oh, I'm sorry. You want the one this long now? I said, like, yeah, give me the one this long. And so I got this long and it worked out. But it was the right size, but it didn't just grow. No, I mean, it was too short. And that's the way all of us, that's what life under the law is. It's just a measurement and you do not measure up. Look back at the verse. Verse 14. Ye are not under the law, but you're under grace. Grace frees you to do what you should do. Grace helps you do what you're supposed to do. The law never did that. The law shows you, you do not measure up. You're short. You're inadequate. You're guilty. The law says you're a failure. Grace says, no. Hey, I'm going to help you succeed. The thing that I bought, it didn't grow because there was no grace in it. It was just too short. It wasn't a fit. I had to get another one. I was a failure. But grace comes along and it helps you do what you're supposed to do, defeat sin. You say, preacher, I don't think I'm following you. A couple weeks ago, we were in Romans chapter 4. Remember that? It's talking about Abraham. God promised Abraham that at 90 years old, he would not only father a son, he would be a father of a great nation. Now, this was irrational. This was illogical, but Abraham reckoned it so. He said, no, God, if you said it, I believe it. I take it as fact. The verse says, he against hope had hope, confidence in what God said. He reckoned it so, and God gave him the power to make it so. Do you understand that? That's what you're to do with sin in your life. Say, no, sin. I am dead to you. You say, but that's not rational. I'm not dead to it. I'm tempted by it. I'm drawn to it. No. You just take God at his word and grace comes in and he's going to help you do what you never could do on your own. Let me make this statement and I think I can prove it. In the Christian life, victory over sin comes from believing the truth and rejecting the lie. In the Christian life, victory over sin comes from believing the truth and rejecting the lie. Believing in the righteous identity of God that he has declared over you, it releases a power in your life to defeat sin. You say, I don't know if I believe you. Remember Matthew 4? Jesus goes into the wilderness. He has just been baptized. He comes up from being baptized. Do you remember what God the Father speaks from heaven? This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. He goes into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan. What is the first thing Satan tempts him with? His identity. Are you really the Son of God? Because if he can get him to question his identity, then he can attack him with temptation and he will fall. Now, the question was Jesus going to listen to Satan and what he lied about his identity? Or was he going to listen to God the Father and what God the Father said about his identity? So long before he was tempted to jump off of temples and to turn stones to bread and to bow down and worship Satan, it was a question over his identity. Who are you. And listen to me, your problem is not alcohol, it's not tobacco, it's not pornography, it's not anger. Your problem is you do not know who you are. When you realize you have been dead to sin, you reckon it so, you are alive to Christ, you believe it as true, you reject sin, you can defeat any sin in your life. Can I get a witness? For sin shall not have dominion over you. You're not under law. You're under grace. The power of Christianity begins with you knowing who you are. You knowing that I was crucified with Christ, but I was raised victorious. Friend, you are a winner. You do not have to be a loser. But for you to be a winner, you must believe who God says you are as His child. Most deadly diseases we've ever faced was the Black Plague. Killed 60% of Europe's population, over 50 million people. Well, it came to this small city in England, Eyam, England. Well, one of the residents there opened up a package. There were fleas there, and he was bitten, and he died within 4 days. Well, the city, the town, in a very admirable act, quarantined themselves so it would not spread. What they found after a year is not all of them died. About 40% of them did die, but not all of them died. Some resisted the disease, and they lived. One mother buried her 6 children and her husband, but she didn't die. The grave digger, he buried everybody. And he touched the bodies at times accidentally. But he didn't die. So what was the deal? How come some of them were susceptible and some of them wasn't? They did a DNA test, and what they discovered was that the descendants that didn't die, the people that didn't die, they had descendants that had a gene that defeated the plague. Oh, they encountered the plague. They were confronted with the plague, but the plague could not kill them. Oh, it killed some of them, but the ones that had that gene, they were victorious, and the plague could not harm them. Listen. That's you. Sin shall not reign in your mortal bodies that you should obey it in the lust thereof. You should yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness. No, 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 no. Do you not know who you are? You are raised with Christ. You are victor. You should not be a victim to temptation. You should be a victor over it. But you must reckon it as so. You must reject sin with all the intensity that you can. And you must receive His grace. God, I need your power to defeat this sin. And just as Abraham received your power to have a son when it was impossible, I need your power, your grace, to defeat this sin in my life. And friend, listen to me. You can be victorious if you want to. Let me close out with this. Maybe this will drive it home better. Tony Evans, I love Tony Evans. He explains this passage like this, kind of a humorous way. Guy goes in to see his therapist. He says, I got a problem with my diet. The therapist says, what's the problem? He said, whenever I walk into a grocery store, I'm just drawn. There's just something that comes over me. I'm just drawn to the dog food section. And it's just like a magnet. It just tracks me. So I go to where all of the dog food is, and I'm in there, and I see all those happy dogs with their tongues hanging out, and I just can't handle it. I tear open the dog food bag, and I just start stuffing my face. And when I see people coming down the aisles, I get down, and I rough, and I bark, and I try to get them to scratch my stomach. He said, I just cannot have enough of that dog food. The therapist looks at him and says, how long have you been this way? The guy says, since I was a puppy. And then Tony Evans says, the problem was not with his diet. The problem was with his identity. And my point to you is, the problem is not with your sin. The problem is you don't know who you are in Christ. Because when you realize who Christ has made you by rising from the dead, drugs loses its draw. Alcohol has no taste. Tobacco, I can walk away from that, no big deal. Because Jesus is so powerful in what He made me, I can say no to every sin. The question is, do you know who you are?